The Nizmar of Tehillim. I need not tell you the terrible tragedy. Last I saw this morning, there were 45 people who passed away in a horrific, horrific tragedy. The list that most of the bodies have not yet even been identified, and no one has been buried. One person was buried from the 45. It's Shabbos is coming, which certainly does not make it any easier for anyone. A lot of families are in a state of shock, and they're worried sick if their children are among the list of 45 people, or in critical condition in the hospital, obviously the horror is beyond belief. Many people from the list that they did release are here from America. And like I told you, I was there about 4 years ago, I think it was.
4 years ago,
and everyone walks down that corridor. Could have been anyone. And I told you once, I experienced something like this like 20 years ago at the Kaisel Hamaravi. With Shavuos, I was in the Ramada Hotel. I spent over an hour, I think, walking to the Kaisel Hamaravi in the middle of the night. Came to the Kaisel. I was literally mamish at the Kaisel, the front. And then Shavuos morning, as it got near Alois HaShachar, it began to fill up. And it got filled up more and more and more. Thousands of people come. And it got very, very tight, body on body. And I really, really thought I was going to be crushed to death. And when you experience something like that, that force of, it's a horror. It's a real horrific, horrific experience. Now's not the time to point fingers. There's certainly going to be a lot of fallout from this. There's no doubt about that. But right now, we're in a state of aninus. Most of these people have not even been buried, not even been identified. Families don't even know what's going on. People are very sick. People are very worried. People are in shock. It's Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu declared Sunday to be a national day of mourning, and the entire Eretz Yisrael. It's a very, very frightening event. And there are no words. There's nothing to say. We have a duty to be mishtatef in the tzar of Klal Yisrael. That's basic duty, basic concept in Yados. Goes without saying. It's a shocking, shocking day. A day that's supposed to be a day of simcha was nisapech to a day of avelos. Terrible avelos. Especially with so many young people, very young. They have pictures of them. They look like, you know, kids and regular people you would identify with right here in America. No different than anyone that we know. So I'm going to say one mizmah before we do the chumash. Shulam alois esonai el harim me'ayin yavo ezri me'im adonai oisei shemayim v'aretz al yitein lamoit raglecha al yonum shemrecha hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael adonai shemrecha adonai tzulcha al yad yiminecha yoyim ha'shemesh lo yakeka birech balayla adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmores nafshecha adonai yishmor tzeischa uvayecha מהתא ועד עולם. אחינו כל בייס ישראל, הנסונים הצורה ושוויה, הולדים בין ביום בין ביבושו, המקום ירחם עליהם, ויוציאים מצורו לבוכו, מאפלו לאירו, ומשיבו לגולו, חשתו בעגולו, ובזמן קוריב, ונאמר אמן. Let's start with just a few things in the parasha. Parshas Emor, Emor begins with Vayom Hashem Moshe Emor El HaKayanim B'nei Aharon V'Amarta Aleihem L'Nefesh Lo Yitama Be'amav. Rashi, it's always good to start with the first Rashi, sets the tone for the parasha. Emor V'Amarta. Rashi takes note of the two words in this pasuk. Emor El HaKayanim, speak to the Kohanim. The Amarta Aleihem. Rashi says, what's the significance of why the repetition? Just say, Emor El HaKohanim. Lenefesh Lo Yitama Bin Biamov. Why do we need these two words? What's the purpose of saying the Amarta Aleihem? Why is this necessary? So Rashi says, it's coming to teach you a principle. Emor V'Amarta Lahazhir Gidoylim al Hakitan, which means to say, Rashi appears to be interpreting the pasuk a little bit different than the obvious pshat. V'Amarta Aleihem is not referring to Moshe. Moshe is speaking to the adults, Emor el Hakohanim, and Moshe is telling the adults, you adults, I want you to go home today. The Amarta Aleihem, and you shall tell your children the law. I'm instructing you to be my agent to make sure every one of your children knows this halacha, that if you are a Kohen, you should not contaminate to the dead. So Moshe, now you should say the Amartem, why then does it say the Amartem Aleihem? The grammar should then be Va'amartem, that all of you people shall say to them, to the children. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just a drush. It's a drush. It's not to be taken literally. Or maybe the Amarta, it's the collective noun. Moshe here is addressing all of the Kohanim as one person and is instructing all of you adults who I'm addressing as one individual, the collective noun, you shall tell your children. You better make sure that you do not contaminate to the dead. Only to one of one's close relatives, the seven relatives. Okay, either it's the pshat, I'm not sure if Rashi means this to be the pshat in the pasuk, and that would force us to understand the amarta to be the collective noun, or maybe it means each individual kohen, should instruct his children, or maybe it's just a drash. The drash is that Moshe is instructing each adult to continue the process of instructing his children. So I just want to say something very interesting. It doesn't exactly say this. I have it in my notes. Maybe we actually spoke about this in the past. I don't think so, but maybe we did. Let's study in the Torah how many times we find obligations for parents to teach their children. Now there are three very obvious other examples of where we find an obligation for a parent to teach children. The Haggadah, v'higadata levincha b'yamahu leimar. Okay, there's a mitzvah of Haggadah, v'higadata levincha, you shall teach your children b'yamahu leimar ba'avur ze'asa Hashem li, the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder, we go and we engage in Haggadah. I always like to joke around with you is that you never saw a parent say to his children, you know, my child, I know across the street they have a beautiful Seder. Why don't you go across the street to that Seder? They'll convey to you the message of Yitzias Mitzrayim much better than I can do. They also have better food, better entertainment. So go across the street. Go across the street and that man across the street will be my agent. You do this all the time. Why don't parents teach their children Torah? Why don't you homeschool your children? The answer is because they can do a lot much better job in the yeshiva than I can do at home. Even though everyone has a complaint about the yeshivas that they don't teach anything, but the nothing that they teach in yeshiva is still better than the nothing that I can teach you at home if I will homeschool you. So I make the school my agent in fulfilling the mitzvah of teaching Torah. So you know what? Why don't you, for the mitzvah, to relate, The reason why we went out of Mitzrayim is because of everything that we learned, the Pesach, Matzah, Mara. Across the street, they do a much better job. So you let go across the street, and he will be my agent in fulfilling this mitzvah. It's total nonsense, totally ridiculous, what I just told you, because the word Vahagada has a kind of connotation. Do it yourself, even if you're a disaster. Vigadata means to relate. It has a connotation. You, the Father, do the best that you can. Whatever it is. You do it yourself. Speak to them. Engage them in conversation. The word Vigadata has many connotations. Question and answer. Discussion. Let them say something. But also it obviously has a connotation. No agency. Do it yourself. There's an element in Jewish education of doing it yourself. And doing it in a way where you elaborate Haggadah. Haggadah has, okay, there are many different ideas, but just the basic concepts and what we see, what we do in this world is, do it yourself and have a conversation. Don't scare them. Talk to them, Haggadah, a discussion, question and answer the way we do it in the Haggadah. Now there's another mitzvah called Vishinantam Levonecha. Every single day, twice a day, we will say Kriya Shema. Vishinantam levonecha v'dibarta bam. What does that mean? So Chazal say here, the word levonecha really refers to students, not necessarily biological children, but it also can be children. And here it means to teach them diligently. Shinun. Teach it to them so many times that they know it by heart. They're sharp. They have the ultimate clarity. Teach them the depth of Torah. Vishinantam sheyehe divrei Torah mechudodim b'ficha. Teach them, you know, the details, the intensity. That's a whole new dimension of teaching children. Don't just give your children a superficial education. You, a parent, have a duty to give your children a sophisticated education to the best of his abilities. Every child, obviously, is different. Some children can handle more, some less. And if you don't know how to do it, if you never got past learning Chumash and Rashi, and your child's capable of handling all the heavy duty stuff, so send them to a yeshiva, send them to a place where they delve into the details of the Torah. Then there's another mitzvah. Vil ulimaditem oisam es b'neichem. Lidaber bom. You shall teach your children, ulimaditem, limud, your children to speak in the words of Torah. And Chazal understand that this pasuk actually does refer to your biological children, not only to your Talmidim. I hear it does not say vishinantam, an intense word of diligence. It just says, teach your children that they should speak. Vidibartem bom, they shall speak in words of Torah. And Chazal understand from this pasuk that there's an obligation for a parent to give his child a basic Jewish education. Just the basics. We're not talking about learning tzois and yesivois and the Be'er Shmuel and every single siman in Shulchan Aruch and all the Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Haggois of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and to learn the Rambam, Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. That's not what this pasuk refers to. This pasuk refers to tell your child every day, get up, you should daven and shul with a minyan, you should say kriya shema, you know, you learn a little mishnayis, learn a little chumash. A parent has a obligation. If you bring a child into this world, it's your duty, of vishinantam levonecha. Just a basic knowledge, basic elementary laws, nothing very sophisticated. So we've already gone over here through three different types of chinuch habonah, specifically related to teaching them concepts. There is the basics, there is a obligation to teach him sophisticated materials if he's capable, v'shinantam levanecha v'dibartam, a different dimension. And then there's a concept of Haggadah, of there are things that you should do yourself. Don't appoint agents. And there's a way to do it, especially when it comes to the fundamentals of Ba'avur Zeh. I guess, you know, the fundamentals of our Jewish history, of where we come from. It's another dimension. And you can take all these different ideas and analyze it and break it apart into all its little parts and try to differentiate between the three different elements, which I've tried to do just a drop, which I don't think I've been too successful. But this week's parsha, we are introduced to a fourth obligation of Jewish education. Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aharon v'omarto aleihem. And I know you'll tell me, but this only applies to Kohanim. It doesn't. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is a Kohen. V'atem tihinyun li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. In one dimension, every single person in Klal Yisrael is a Kohen. The whole nation is a nation of Kohanim. Relative to the world, we're all Kohanim. In Klal Yisrael, there's Sheva Levi, they're Kohanim. But in the big picture of things, and Mori Elah Kohanim, this is just a way of saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem. Right? If you would say that, no one would blink. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem. Now you'll tell him about the next psukim, talk about don't defile your neshama. All right, we could figure out a solution for that also. But but you cannot deny the fact that the entire Klal Yisrael is called Kohanim. V'atem tihiyun li mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh. So we're talking to the whole Klal Yisrael. It's just another way of saying, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, dab emor el Yisrael v'yamarta aleihem. Because we're all Kohanim in one respect. And what does it say? It says Emor v'yamarta lehazhir gidolim al ketanim. You know, we already know that. We already know there's a pasuk. Ulimadetem osam es b'nechem ledaber bom. We know there's a pasuk v'shinantem levonecha v'dibarta bom. We have a pasuk v'garta levincha bayomuhu leimar. What do I need another warning? Another, what is this pasuk coming to add that I don't already know? And I believe the answer is there's a whole new dimension in this pasuk which is very frightening. And that is accountability. Lahazhir hagidoylim al haketanim. Rashi's words are lahazhir. Lahazhir means to warn you. When we come to the pasuk of v'yamart v'shinantam levenecha v'dibartabam v'limadatam osam espenechem v'yigartam levincha, let's say you don't do it. So you don't do it. You do everything you're supposed to do. Most people do it, or whatever you do. You do what you can do. You do, you have an obligation. Okay, there's accountability, lightweight accountability. No one's coming to knock on your door and to take you away, to lock you up because you didn't go and stay in shul, say tikkun chatzos. If you didn't say tikkun chatzos, you're supposed to say it's shulchan aruch. You're supposed to fast on Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit. It says in Shulchan Aruch. I never saw anyone being taken away in a paddy wagon because he didn't fast on Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit. He didn't say Tikkun Chatzos, even though it says you should do these things in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, no one's coming to get you for these things. What about Chinuch? So you do the best you can. You know, not everyone could afford to send their children to the best schools. Not everyone is the most, you know, charismatic parent that's able to go instill in his child all of the yisoides of Torah. You do the best that you can. This pasuk adds a new dimension to chinuch habanim, and that is accountability. Lehazhir, to warn, hagedolim, the adults, regarding haketanim, the children. Torah here is saying something very unique about chinuch that it doesn't say about anything else. Other mitzvahs, okay, you do the mitzvah. If you don't do the mitzvah, in this world, no one's coming to get you. Hashem, in the next world, is a din v'cheshbon. No one knows what that's all about, whatever it is it is. In this world, there's a bezdin. Bezdin does not punish people if they don't fulfill a mitzvah saseh. They don't. You're supposed to put on tefillin every day. You're supposed to You're supposed to, where tzitzis, you're supposed to do certain things. If you don't do it, in society, you're not going to be looked up to as being, you know, the most chush of a person. They're not going to give you shlishi on Yom Kippur if you don't wear tefillin every day and people know about it. But Bezin's not going to go get involved. If a person is a Mechal Shabbos, all right, and you're in violation and there are witnesses and you're a bit influenced, that's a whole different story. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch, you know, there's Misas Bezin, there is penalties. You know, there a person commits a crime. If you harm someone else, I mean, Dvarim Shutim Ad Moed, you're accountable. But the positive mitzvahs, you're not accountable. Not in this world. This is the exception. It's the exception. Don't take lightly your obligation to make sure that the next generation knows what they're supposed to do. Lehazhir gidoylim al hakitanim. The other mitzvahs of chinuch, v'shinantam levonecha, ulimadatam asam esbeneichem, v'igatam levincha, they present different dimensions of how to teach, what to teach, what to focus on. But this fourth element, fourth leg of this table of chinuch is telling the parents, this is your duty. This is your obligation. And I'm warning you. I didn't warn you about anything else in the Torah like I warned you about this. This dimension is much more serious and has much greater consequences than the other mitzvahs. Lahazhir gidoylim al ketanim, there is accountability and an intense degree of responsibility in making sure the children understand. And what's the mitzvah? L'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. What does that mean? Okay, besides the pshuvishal mikra, that it means that a kohen should not contaminate to a dead body, it means live a holy life. Don't take your neshama, your holy neshama, elokai neshama, shenasat bi tohoirihi, and defile it by living a life that is not proper, and by engaging in activities that contaminate the neshama, each person on their level. The pasuk homiletically can be understood addressing Klal Yisrael in regarding chinuch in general. What is the sum total of chinuch? Again, emor el hakohanim. The whole Klal Yisrael is kohanim. V'atem tihinyun li mamleches kohanim v'goy kodosh. And Moshe is speaking to the parents. Emor el hakohanim, to the adults. Bnei Aaron, we're all kohanim. We're all part of his team. V'yamart alehim. I'm warning you regarding the chinuch of your children. What's the lesson? Teach them. They're holy. They have a neshama that came from Shemayim. Live a life of sanctity. Don't allow yourself to be swayed and to be pulled by this intense magnet of contamination that's out there in the world. Be strong. Resist. Resist the temptations of the Ummah Sa'ilam that we know in each person on their level is not going to end well. Lahazir gidoylim al ketanim l'nefesh. Your neshama is a holy neshama. Lo yitama. Do not defile it ba'amav. While you're part of the nation, as you participate in being part of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Let's go to okay. This is a short idea. I don't know if this is it's just a short idea. It is what it is. This week we learn about all of the Mo'adim. It's like a crash course in
in Jewish holidays. Each holiday in and of itself is a, you know, you could spend a lifetime. What is Pesach all about? You could spend years learning about Pesach. And then you celebrate Pesach over a 7-day period of time. And then you have Sukkot, and you have Shavuos, and you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And there's the Sfira in the middle. Okay, each Moed takes enormous preparation, both physically, you know, to get ready for Pesach, to clean the house, to prepare the food, shopping, v'chulu, v'chulu. Takes time. And yet, in this 1 week's parasha, we get them all in one shot. We go through parashas Emor, is the Kriyas HaTorah, we lay on Pesach and Shavuos. We go through the Kriya, and all of the Moadim are all joined together in one shot. And that itself is very interesting because Chazal tells us that when you go through a parasha, you relive the experience. We think that we only relive, for example, let's say Matan Torah. Matan Torah, we celebrate Shavuos. Okay, on the 50th day of the Omer, we celebrate the Yom Tov of Shavuos. What happens when it's the middle of the winter and we come to Parashas Yisroel? No, what it's just a you know, an event. It's just, you know, whatever. It's like reading a newspaper. You come to Shul on Shabbos. Oh, we're learning Parashas Yisroel. We're learning Aseres Hadibros. It's very nice. Yeah, very nice. No, Parashas Yisroel. When you learn Parashas Yisroel, you are reliving Matan Torah. It is literally Shavuos. And when you come to Parashas Va'eschanan, again, when you read the Aseres Hadibros, you are re-experiencing Matan Torah. And each one has a unique experience. There's an experience of Matan Torah in Parashas Yisroel. There's an experience of Matan Torah in Parashas Va'eschanan. And there's an experience of Matan Torah 50 days after Pesach in time. Each one carries a unique experience. It's not just a record. Okay, here we are. We go to Shul, read the newspaper, a Chazara, what happened? What is Yom Tov of Shavuos all about? When you go through the parashios, through the Seder of the year, the Sidura, the Seder, the Sidra, the parashios HaShavuos is called the Sidra. When you go through the Seder, you are reliving the experience. So, Parshas Yisro, you relive one experience, Matan Torah. This week is a very intense experience to go through all of the Parshios HaShavua. That's quite intense. And why is it like that? So the answer has to be very, on a very simple level, that we lose out very much when we go through any one of the Moadim in the cycle of the year. Because each Yom Tov is pretty much cut off from all of the other Moadim. When you're sitting at your Pesach Seder and eating your Matzah, the last thing you're thinking about is Rosh Hashanah. The last thing you're thinking about is Tekiyah, Shvarim Teruah. You're not thinking about that. Okay, when you're eating the Afikoyim, you're not thinking about your Esreg and Lulav. And when it's Shavuos, you're not thinking about fasting on Yom Kippur. And when it's Sukkos, you're not thinking about eating matzah. Each Yom Tov is in its own world. It's in a vacuum. But that's not the way it was meant to be. Each one of the Moadim is part of a team. There is a unity. A unity of it being all different pieces of one puzzle, how each element must come together with other elements in order to achieve one cohesive unit. That's the advantage of Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor, we're able to sit back and look at the Moadim not as isolated events, but to see the whole cycle, the Shalosh Regalim with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and how each one is in a very precise sequence, and see the deeper meaning, how they all interconnect with one another. Okay, now, using that idea, I want to go, I'll go a little bit further. The end of the parasha, the last moed that we come to, we go through Shabbos, we go through all the moada. Shabbos, all the one that we really don't touch upon, at least not explicitly, is Shmini Atzeres. But we go through all the parashios, go to Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuos, then we go to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and we come to Sukkos, the pasuk elaborates very much. It elaborates, and it tells us, it even tells us twice, it first tells us, Bayom Rishon is Chag HaSukkos, 7 days, Bayom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, okay, you're not allowed to do any malacha. It does say, it's B'yom HaShmini, I take it back, it says explicitly B'yom HaShmini, Shmini Atzeres is mentioned. It then goes backwards and it tells us what you do on these days. And it tells us to take a lulav and an esrog. Okay, very good. The dalad meaning. And then it really winds down, the last thing it tells us about Sukkos. Even though we've mentioned Shmini Atzeres, Shmini Atzeres, we don't sit in the sukkah, but then it says at the very, very end, Leman Yedu, the reason why you dwell in the sukkah is Teishvu Shivas Yamim, Kol Ho'ezroch B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukkah. This word bothers me very, very much. This is a very interesting word. Every citizen. Then we once had a political, we had a whole political talk about the word Ho'ezroch. Biden, on the first day of his administration, his first executive order is that from federal government can no longer refer to an immigrant, even an illegal immigrant, as an alien. No, the word alien is not acceptable. Everyone is either a citizen or a non-citizen. New terminology for the federal government, new directive, executive order. There are citizens and there are non-citizens. The term alien must be deleted from the lexicon of the federal government. It's insulting to humanity to call a non-citizen of the United States an alien. And we had a discussion that may be good for America, that's none of our business, but in the Torah, there's something called an ezrach and a nechor. When it comes to a Korban Pesach, the Torah does not say there is an Ezrach and a Loy Ezrach. It doesn't say that. The Torah says there's an Ezrach, a citizen, and there's a Nechor. And in many of the English translations, it says there is a citizen and a Nechor is an alien. Okay, today it sounds like a UFO, an alien. Okay, we live in a different world, but the Torah used the word Nechor. Okay, so that was a topic we had a long time ago. I'm not talking about that. That's not my goal here today. But the word Necho, the word Ezrach, appears once again in a very bizarre way at the very end of this week's parasha in reference to parashas in the Sukkos. Basukkos teishvu shevas yamim, 7 days. 7 days. If the pasuk would stop right there, we'd be very happy. But it goes on. And if the pasuk would say, Kol Yisrael, Yeshu Basukas, we would be also very happy. No one would even know that anything is missing. But it doesn't say that. The Torah, just for some reason, does not let up and has to add this word. And it did not say this word the entire parasha. This word does not exist anywhere in the whole Chumash, Vayikra, in fact. It just has to throw in that word, just for fun. Basukos teishvu shivas yamim, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael. Only citizens of the Jewish people. We want to see your passport. You have to be a real citizen to sit in the sukkah. B'Yisrael yeshu basukos. What? What is this all about? Chazal got all worked up. They have these drashos, very elaborate mamori chazal. Fantastic. We're not giving now a daf yom yeshir. Right now we're learning chumash. Pashup shat. what's going on over here? Kol ha'ezrach, there's a message here. There's a message here. And this is the end of all the Moadim. Shabbos, Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. Go to the whole cycle. And then we finish Shmini Atzeres. And by the way, remember when you know Sukkot, I just want to leave you off with the afikoimen in your mouth before you leave Parshas Emor, after you get the big picture, not just the vacuum, the holiday in the vacuum, you get the big picture. I want to remind all of you people that one of the last holidays, right before Shmini Atzeres, you sat in a sukkah. But who sat in the sukkah? In Ezrach sat in a sukkah. What's going on over here? Obviously, Torah is teaching us, if this is the end, all of the different holidays that culminate are all parts of the process to gain your citizenship. If you want to be a citizen of a country, you have to show you're part of the country. You have to, in the United States, you want to be a citizen? You have to live here for a number of years. You have to have a job. You have to memorize the Pledge of Allegiance. You have to know who the first president was. You go for a citizenship test. You have to know how to speak English. There are certain things you have to know. I don't know. They probably changed all these laws, or they probably abolished all these laws right by now. But it used to be a citizen of the country. A country is, it stands for something. Every country stands out as being unique among the nations of the world. You want to be a citizen, you have to be sworn in, you want to be a citizen, you have to pledge your allegiance. You have to pledge your allegiance, you have to give yourself over, you have to be part of the culture of the country to be a citizen. This pasuk, which is really the end, It's just about the end. It's not the Laman Yedor Sechem Kibasukos Ashafti Bnei Yisrael, but it's just the reason. But when the last directive, the last command, it is the last command. The next pasuk talks about Laman Yedu, just means it means knowledge. But the last command in observance of the Moadim is, are you a citizen? And I want to suggest al derech durosh is that every single thing, every single obligation of the entire cycle of the Moadei Hashana, of what you're supposed to do, is all a part of the process of becoming a citizen of Klal Yisrael. You want to be a real citizen? You have to observe Shabbos. You want to be a real citizen? You have to observe Pesach. You have to eat matzah. You have to observe Shavuos. You have to observe Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim and Sukkos and take Dalet Minim, and you have to sit in the Sukkah. You have done everything from the beginning of the parasha to the end of the parasha. You've gone through every single halacha. The very lasting obligation the Torah tells you to do in observance of all of the Moadei Hashanah, Basukos Teishvu Shivas Yamim, you shall sit and dwell in Sukkos for 7 days. And now you know what the Pasuk says? Now, congratulations. Mazel Tov, you are a real citizen. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, Yeshu Basukos. You've passed your citizenship test. You're now a member of Klal Yisrael. All the Moadim are isolated events. We look at them in a vacuum to be separate events. But the package is what creates citizenship in Klal Yisrael. Now, we're not finished yet, because there's another place where we find the word citizen used. Not here in Parshas Emor, when we look at the conglomeration of all the Moadim. But when you go back to Parshas Bo, when Klal Yisrael was leaving Egypt, and Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, I want you to bring a Korban Pesach, there, Nowhere else does the Torah go out of its way and say, who can bring the Korban Pesach? Only a citizen, the same word, the Ezrach, can bring the Korban Pesach, not a Ben Eichel. What's that all about? Why? Well, obviously, that's the beginning of the process. Let me define the pasuk. Parashas Bo, we're instructed to bring the Korban Pesach. The pasuk says, Mishku, take for yourself the Korban Pesach. Okay, maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but it's the parish of Korban Pesach. It's got to be over here. By Bris Mila tells you about Maltem. Okay, here it is, 1 second. Voshel Mevushel. Se Samim Lemeshmeres. Okay. I can't find it at this moment. I don't want to spend time over here. Here it is. Okay, I found it. Okay. Parashas Bo. Here it is. Okay. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'Aaron, Zois Chukas HaPesach. Kol ben Nechor lo yoichal boy. Kol evedish mignas kosev malto so oz yoichal boy. Okay, goes on. V'chi yogur itchem ger v'yos HaPesach l'Hashem imolo kol zach v'yoz yikav l'asesah v'hoya ki ezrach ha'oretz. Toira achas. There's an emphasis at the bringing of the Korban Pesach to be an Ezrach. And that's isolated by Pesach. What is Pesach? Pesach is the beginning. That's the beginning.
You have Ezrach and offering most also.
What does it say there?
Oh, Ezrach, Agar, Agar, B'Sochem, right before Kibayom HaZeich HaPer Alechem.
What is it? What does the whole pasuk say?
Yeah, ho Ezrach v'agera agar b'sochem.
We have to see how it's used. Okay, So we have it there as well. Okay.
Rolling in my head.
There is an intensity of Ezrach used by the Korban Pesach. And what I want to try to suggest is. Okay, it's a term, members of Klal Yisrael. The point I want to make is that it's by design. Parshas Emor is not ending off the Mo'adim are over. Parshas Emor ends off the Mo'adim with the key you need for the next cycle. You know, it's like you do your taxes online and they want, before you start your new taxes, they want the code. I don't know if you use the same program I use. The code you get that you've done last year's taxes. The taxes are done in sequence. Before you do the tax for 2020, the program at least I use, it demands the code that the government gave me for 2019. When you file your tax in the year for the 2019 taxes, you file it online, you get a code. You get a code. And then to begin the 2020 taxes, you have to enter the code from 20 that the government has given you from 2019. At least that's how my tax program works, the H&R Block taxes. And if I don't have that code, I have Gachtitzars. If I don't have that code, the cycle has to continue. When you finish the end of one cycle, you need the key to enter into a new cycle. The beginning of the Moadim is Pesach. And the Torah says, Zois Chukas HaPesach. This is the law of Korban Pesach. The first thing it says is, Kol Benechor Lo Yoichal Bo. It's the first words. The beginning of the cycle of the Moadim is Pesach, and Pesach says, members only. Kol ben nechor lo yoichal bo. No aliens allowed. And who's allowed? Torah achas yeh lo ezrach. It's packaged. The entire parsha of Pesach is packaged with Ben Nechor, out. Kol HaEzrach. Okay, where do I get the code? Where do I get my passport to show you that I am an Ezrach and I'm not a Ben Nechor? How do I enter into this part of the cycle? You get it from last year's end of the cycle. Because when you go through the entire set of Moadim, from Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres, what's the very end? Shivas Yom Teshuvas Sukkos, Kol HaEzrach BeYisrael. Here is the code. Here you are now in Ezrach. When you'll come now to do the cycle all over again, make sure you take this piece of paper, this certificate, that you've made it to the end, your certificate that you've graduated, that you've been certified, because you're going to need the certificate of being in Ezrach in order to enter the cycle all over again when you get back to Parshas Bo, and it says to you, Zois Chukas HaPesach, Kol Ben Nechor, Lo Yoichal Bo. Are you in Ezrach? Are you what it says, Torah Chasiyelu Ezrach V'Lager? You're in Ezrach? Where? Show me. Show me. I'll show you because I've gone through last year's cycle. The reason why I'm telling you there's a double message in the Torah, in this week's parasha, with putting all of the Moadim together to show you, you have to glue, you have to weave them together into one cohesive unit and make it to the end. And when you make it to the end, you get a certificate of authenticity. You get a diploma. You're certified. You're licensed. You've now become called the 7 days. Kol Yisrael Yeshu Kol Ezrach BeYisrael. You've now got that certificate of being called an Ezrach. And now you have the opportunity, the privilege, of being able to repeat the cycle with more depth and more meaning and more understanding in going through a cycle again with an intense and beautiful way. Okay, let's wind down. I'll tell you one more levart, wind down about Lag BaOmer. Today again, as I mentioned, we started. It's really a day of tragedy. It's really, there's nothing to say. There are no words. There really is nothing, you know. It's a very big challenge. It's a very, very big nisayon to everyone. How this can happen. It's really horrible. In this week's parasha, I believe there's a remez to the holiday of Lag BaOmer. I think it's a very powerful remez to Lag BaOmer. At the end of the Moadim, go through all the Moadim, come to Emor. We finish with Sukkos Shmini Atzeres, and then guess what? We read about the Menorah, and all the Darshanim say, "Oh, Menorah. What comes after Sukkos Shmini Atzeres? Chanukah. It's not a coincidence that right after you finish all the Moadim and Parshas Emor, you read about Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'ichoy lech Hashem in Zayizach. Kos Islam, wow! Because there's a rabbinic holiday coming down the pipeline. Chanukah, unbelievable. Chanukah is in the parasha also. And then when you finish Chanukah, what does it say? The next halacha. V'lokachta soiles v'yofis oisa shtei meshechales the lechem upon him. What's the lechem upon him? Purim. Bread. Bread is life. Ki lo yala lechem levada yichye ha'adam. Ki al kol motzofi adam yichye. Life. Bread is synonymous with life. What was Purim all about? Lahashmid, laharogu, la'abed es kol ha'yehudim, minar v'yad zokin taf v'noshim b'yoyim echad. Life. Purim, we have a food. Why? Because we celebrate life. Chanukah, there's no need to have food. It's a hiddur to have a soup. You don't have no mitzvah to have a meal. If you have a meal, it becomes a mitzvah. Because Chanukah was spiritual. They didn't want to kill us. They just wanted to remove religion from the Jewish people. Here you come to the you come to the Shulchan. The Shulchan, the Darshanim, all tell us all the Moadim are in this week's parasha. Shabbos, Moadim of the biblical Moadim, and then we come to Chanukah and Purim. What about Lag BaOmer? Well, Lag BaOmer is not a holiday, I'm sorry to tell you. It's not a holiday, Lag BaOmer. This is a new thing, Chadoshim LaBakarim. It's not a real holiday. Okay, we don't say Tachnon. The Talmidei Rabbi Kiva stop dying. Chazal tell us Chanukah, Purim. There's a relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. In that, the day of Peleg, Pei Lamed Gimel, Pei is Purim, Lamed Gimel is Lag BaOmer. They share the same day of the week. Okay, whatever day of the week is Purim is going to be Lag BaOmer. They're both on Friday. I wanted to say once a Jewish is that there's a sphere of 7 times 7. That's a sphere that's down to earth. There's a mystical sphere. 8 times 8. Just like there's a sphere of 7 times 7, a very practical, tangible world. Number 7 is a very real world, right? 7. There's something called 8 times 8. 64. How many days are there between Purim and Lag BaOmer? Check this out, don't trust me. 64 days. When Purim begins, Lag BaOmer. 64 days. 8 is Lamala Mederachateva. Okay, so Purim is divided into two parts. This Purim. And Purim is Purim, okay? And Lag BaOmer, there's obviously some relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. Peleg, it's a Shulchan Aruch. It's a Siman Shulchan Aruch. Whatever day of the week is, Purim will be Lag BaOmer. That's not the point I want to make. After we finish all of the Moadim, I want to say it's even more explicit in the parasha. I want to tell you a Jewish. The Lag BaOmer is mamish mamish in the parasha in a very interesting way. After we learn about the menorah and we learn about the shulchan, which is Purim, comes a very unpleasant story. What happens is the mekalel. Vayetze ben isha yisraelis uhu ben ish mitzri besech ben isha vayinotz machne vayikoyv. He was mevorech Hashem. He blessed Hashem. That's a euphemism for the opposite. They put him in prison. What's the halacha? Moshe had to ask Hashem, and Hashem said this man should be stoned to death. Be put to death. He was mevorech Hashem. He shall be put to death. How did it happen that he was mevorech Hashem? Rashi tells us. Rashi says it's the juxtaposition. This man, he took note that in the Beis HaMikdash, they make the Lechem HaPanim, the last parasha, on Erev Shabbos. Fresh bread. When do they put the Lechem HaPanim on the table? Shabbos, tomorrow. When do they remove it and serve it to the Kohanim? The following Shabbos. So when you're going to give the Kohanim to eat from the Lechem HaPanim, how old is that bread? 9 days. 9 days. You bake the bread on Friday. Next Friday, like a bris meal, if the baby's born on Friday, the bris is going to be on Friday, right? 8 days, right? Forget about, don't confuse me with the facts, okay? Let's just make, right? So the next Friday is 8 days, and they take it off the table on Shabbos, on the 9th day. So this fellow said, what kind of religion is this? Rashi brings this down. Rashi says, Rabbi Brechia Omer, mi parsha l'maylo yos, ligleg, lamed gimel. Ligleg, he laughed, he mocked. He made a mockery out of religion, out of Judaism. It's a joke, Judaism. The Omar, b'yoy ma'shabes yarechenu, you shall arrange it, derech ha'melech lechol pas chama b'chol yom, a king eats fresh bread. Shema, pas soinenes, shel tisha yomim bitmiya. You're going to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, bread that's 9 days old, that is stale. The city would shut you down if you serve in your bakery bread that's 9 days old. What a chilul Hashem to serve in the Beis Hamikdash bread that's 9 days old. And because of this, what did he do? Ligleg. He made a mockery out of religion. He made a mockery. You know, there are a lot of words in the Torah that are double. Yorakrak. What does yorakrak mean? Yorok. It means green. And when you repeat yorok twice, you have yorakrak. It means it's very green. Adamdam. Odoim is red. And when you repeat the word twice, adamdam, twice, it means deep red. Ligleg is a repetition of lamed gimel. And here in this pasuk, it means he made a mockery. He was laughing hysterically. He wasn't just laughing. He was really making a litzanus. There's another word we have for laughing. And it's used two ways. Sori imenu. When Sori imenu heard Hashem say that you can have a child when you're 100 years old, you know what she did? Vatitzchak Sora bikirbo lema. Achale v'loisi haisali edna. She mocked Hashem. Vatitzchak bikirbo. She laughed. A laugh of ridicule. Are you joking? What are you making a litzanus of me? I'm going to have a child. I'm 100 years old. Skepticism? Hashem says, Lomazet sochakol sara lema. What is she doing? Why is she laughing like this? Why is she ridiculing? Why is she doing this? I'm telling you, you're going to have a child. What are you doing? And she had a child. And what did she name the child? She did teshuvah, Chazal say. She named the child Yitzchak. Because she laughed. Tzachoik osali Elokim. Kol hashoymeh yitzachakli. The same word goes both ways. Mocking and an intense joy. There was no one that had joy in this world like Sori Imenu when she gave birth to Yitzchak. The same exact word both ways. This fellow, he sees bread coming off the shulchan after 9 days. And what does he do? Ligleg. He makes a mockery out of it. What did Chazal say about this bread? It says that people, they waited around after Yom Tov so they can take out the table from the Mikdash to show Klal Yisrael that the bread that's 9 days old is still giving out steam. And they said to Klal Yisrael, Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokom. Look at how much Hashem loves you. Re'u chibaschem, when they saw the bread that was 9 days old, that was giving out steam, they all said, Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokom. This steam coming out of the bread that was made 9 days ago. Look at the love. And you know what the response of Klal Yisrael was? They were ligleg, but not a ligleg of mockery. It was like Sarah's tzichoik. Vatitzchak turned into tzichoik osali alokim. Kol hashuva yitzachakli. One person saw this as a mockery, 9 days, but when you appreciate Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokom, you operate with a different set of rules. Then the ligleg of this individual turned into a feeling of love, of joy that cannot even be expressed. The ligleg of mockery turned into the ligleg of Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokom. That's Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a time, a day devoted to appreciate that even though we live in a very dark world, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva perished. They died. 24,000 people died. You think we're in mourning today? 24,000 people, the best of the best, Psalto v'shamna of Klal Yisrael perished. And smack in the middle of this horror, one day they stopped dying. One day. This is the era, this time period of the Mavarech. What kind of religion is this? 24,000 people died? You're serving Hashem bread, 9 days old, stale bread with worms and mold? Vayetze benisha Yisraelis, uchu benish misri, besuch b'nei Yisrael, vayinotzu machne. Vayikoy, venu isha Yisraelis Hashem, vayikalel. Deep down inside, everyone walks around with a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the reality. But there's one day when they stopped dying. And on that one day, the minds of man were opened up to appreciate. Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokon. It's true. There are a lot of tzaros out there. There are a lot of tzaros that we don't understand, we'll never understand. No question about it. The bread is 9 days old. The city of New York will give, the health inspector will give the store an F and shut the store down. There's what to complain about. But yet there's an emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, the bread that's 9 days old is giving off steam. Re'u chibaschem lifnei hamokon. The ligleg of Klal Yisrael, which represents their hidden inner complaint. Why? Lama? We don't understand. But there's emuna pshuta, that in the darkness, there's awe. There's lichtigkeit. That one day when they stop dying, and that little spark of awe is Ru'u chibaschem lifnei hamokon. There is a reason, there is a purpose, we don't know. It's emunah. That's Lag BaOmer. And that is all hidden. Ligleg, Lamed Gimel, the 33rd day, the intensity. All the Moadim are in the parasha. From Shabbos to the Moadim, Chanukah, Purim, Vayetze Ish HaMekalel, that represents the next holiday. Lag BaOmer today became a very big holiday. You know why? Because Lag BaOmer is really a day of tzaros. It really, it's in the thick of tzaros. We're living 1,950 years of what? Tzaros, one after another. Every once in a while, there's this moment when the Shemayim is opened, and then the ligleg turns into lagleg. It's not I made up that word. The ligleg of just like the vatitzchak turned into tzchoik osali elokim. In the bitter tsaris of Golos, the ligleg on Lag BaOmer turns into a lagleg. Ru'u chibaschem lifnei hamokon. Abayisai, thank you for coming and joining us. Shabbos suris, toivos, yeshuas, nechamos. Good Shabbos, and be well. Good Shabbos. Dr. Fruchter, good Shabbos. Ron, how are you doing, Ron? What's the your minion? How's it going?
Shabbat Shalom.
Too much food, I have to pack it up, take it off.
Shabbos came from me, Ron.
Good Shabbos.
Eshi, we miss you. How's the minion? No problem? Going strong? There's still room for you. I know tomorrow you're dabbing 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Hi.
Good Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbos.
A few years ago, I went to the Bikkur, and went also early. And Leish was so much, I was afraid, I stepped myself 5-4 and done. And it was hot, crowded. I didn't get anything out of the davening. It's just more inspiration when you hear the on the scene on the video. I didn't see anything for this for the back. I said to myself, yeah, I probably wasn't even yikes with davening. It was like just
a I know that Shavuos, I said to myself, never ever again will I do this.
Yeah.
This was ridiculous, totally ridiculous. This what happened yesterday is gonna change everything.
You think so?
Look, you see the sign over here?
Yeah.
Not more than 94 persons, dangerous and unlawful. Uh-huh. There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason why there's a sign like this.
You think it would change?
Yeah,
because they don't listen to anything.
No, it's gonna change. There's no question about it.
There's no question.
That's what he says. And then Netanyahu Yashin said, he says, this what happened, 45 people.
Okay, so they listen by Corona. They don't care.
This is a public, it's a posture thing, public health. The police are not going to, there's going to be laws. It's going to change everything. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It didn't have to happen.
It didn't, because they didn't want police there. Some of the cabinet ministers said they don't want police there. And then it's
terrible. I mean, I was there for, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 years ago. It's really dangerous. It really is. The crowds it's hard to imagine. Like, they show it now. Right now, everyone is gone.
Yeah.
Right. They show pictures online of what it looks like, of the whole scene, of the staircase and the whole alleyway. You look at it, it looks pretty big, it looks pretty safe. The stairway they have, it's not like a regular staircase. It's like an area, and then there's like one, like a half a step.
Yeah.
Who would imagine? So if you have 50,000 people shoving, they're not even shoving. It's just, I don't think that they're pushing. It's just
the crowd carries you.
The crowd carries you. I don't think it's because they were engaging in illegal activity, pushing and shoving.
No, just the
it's just Shibani, it's just people. The mitzvahs. It's the sheer
and that hallway force, is maybe right. Wide, but it's
But it cannot account for 50,000 people.
No.
So it's just the sheer volume of people. It happens, and anyone who's been in like one of these type of gatherings, you get a taste of what it's like, and it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
I went a few years ago. I went to Babov, my kids. It was Sukkot, so I went to the Babov of Sukkot, and I had bleachers. And I was standing on the bleachers, and more people came, more and more people. And you just feel like the wood is like. I said, I left right away. I said, this is very scary.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
Yeah, like in these shuls, like you're afraid the floor should collapse.
No concept of safety.
They built the building how many years ago? Maybe almost 30 years ago. I don't know how many years ago they built the building. So they had the most safety to the Chaim and Avenue.
Yeah.
The shops.
Yeah.
I'm alive. Okay, I'm going to turn up the water. Okay. Thank you very much. So they had the I remember very quickly. They went to the old building, the new building. Very first time they come into the yeshiva. They were the first time Achnas Torah, they took all the tables and they were dancing, Lebedik dancing, the whole yeshiva. People who were there, the mamish felt brand new building.
Yeah.
The floors up and down.
Yeah, but they build it that way though.
But you can tell me all you want, everyone here. Floors going up and down,
yeah.
And they're dancing, and they were mamish. They tittered. They really got scared.
Yeah.
So of course they called up the architect and this, and they made an investigation, and they said no, it's built like that. It's supposed to breathe up and down.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be. It's okay. Yeah. And they said better safe than sorry.
Uh-huh.
The following year, by Simchas Torah, in the basement. They brought in these massive beams. They took out the drop ceiling in the basement, in the dining room.
Uh-huh.
20 columns.
Uh-huh.
Over here, in the middle, and on the side,
Just...
And then what did they do? And they also, to get them up, it took a few days to do this with the workers.
Yeah.
And they have to prop up, they put wood on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And they did this, and then they basically bought these beams and they put in storage. And now, twice a year, every single year, for
30 years before Purim or Simchas Torah, a crew comes in, they remove a whole section of the drop ceiling where they you know where the beams are, and they have it down to a science already.
Chaim Berlin.
They have all the beams marked with numbers. Twice a year, it's a major expense. They have to store these beams. What they did was they stopped putting it on the side. They said, "Yes, Shagas. It's enough just to go down the center. No need to go and have beams all over the place."
Yeah.
So that they got rid of.
Yeah.
But they still they take down the ceiling. Major, major tircha, an expense.
Yeah.
Better
safe
than sorry. Now I'm thinking, I'm wondering now. See, I'm wearing a Chaim Berlin, they pack you in like a sardine there. They take it all that they put in these little tables. They got a little better. They got very organized.
Yeah.
There should be room in the aisles.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, for example, Rosh Hashanah, they have a break before Tikkias. Everyone goes down to the dining room. Everyone can go home. They have a half an hour break. It takes about at least between 15 to 20 minutes just to leave the Beis Medrash. Because there are so many people, you can't get out. So could you imagine, Rachmana Litzel, there's an emergency? There's an emergency in the middle of davening.
Yeah.
And everyone has to get out immediately. If to get out when there's a break, they finish Kriyas HaTorah, there are 1,000 people packed into the Beis Medrash.
Yeah.
And now to go to the Kiddush downstairs just to get out of the Beis Medrash, it takes 15 minutes because everyone is sitting body on body. There's no room. And they do it in a very responsible way. I mean, they do it the best they can.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty crowded. Could you imagine a Chaman Muslim is an emergency? Look what it says over here, 94 persons.
Yeah.
It also brings back, I once watched I used to love watching these videos of airplane crash investigation.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
So it came to my mind, the memory of one of the episodes, it was from all these memories, we're back. Yeah. What happened is they showed a plane that crashed with an emergency landing and it was on fire and many people died. Not from the crash, not from the fire, from the stampede, getting off the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the exit off the plane is very narrow with the seats, and most of the casualties, if not all the casualties, was because of the stampede to get off the plane.
Right, right.
And I remember that episode, and because of that event, the FAA demanded a redesign of every plane, the exit, they came out, it was brilliant, they showed it, you can probably see it on the front, it was just a matter of a few inches.
Yeah.
You just need a few more inches in the area of where you get out with the seats in order that people should be able to get out without there being a stampede. It's a whole chokhmah to it.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
But
The thing is, what do we come to? Is these are all like optional things? Is this halacha? It's not
public,
it's
health,
necessary.
Public safety.
The whole thing.
Public. You know what's by Matan Torah? Hagbala.
Yeah.
Hagbala. Hashem's Moshe tell the people to hagbala. Don't come too close.
Yeah.
So Moshe, did you tell the people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told them. Well, go tell them again.
Yeah.
What's this? No. Okay, I told them. Tell them it. The whole Chagaya. What's going on?
Okay, so everybody's gonna.
What's going on? So all the Mefarsh, they tell you these very deep esoteric Derech Lach.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be an extremist. Don't know your place. They tell you all these Kabbalistic.
Yeah.
Poshit Pshat. Public safety.
Yeah.
Don't let them come close. They're gonna push and shove.
They don't want to go there. They'll be killed. There'll be a stampede.
You have 600,000 people wanting to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down on the mountain.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a stampede.
Yeah.
Tell them public safety. Public safety. Occupancy by more than 94 persons is dangerous and unlawful.
Yeah.
Did you tell them? I told them. Tell them again.
Yeah.
Nochamol.
Yeah.
Push them shot. Hagbola was nothing more than a public safety announcement. I went yesterday online about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon to watch. I wanted to see. I always like to see the dance or whatever's going on. So they had the whole video from beginning to where they were up to. They were up to it, their face, whatever. So I wanted to see the beginning.
Yeah.
I like to see when they first light, when the band first starts. So they finished, they were diving Myriv. The Biyana Rebbe was there, right? They said Kaddish. And then before he lit, before he went up, there was a guy, the guy in the microphone. He was again and again and again screaming on the microphone very clearly. It's Pikuach Nefesh, Sakonis Nefashos.
Yeah.
He was saying in Hebrew. I don't know exactly what he was saying, but he kept on saying it again before he did anything, like for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, it's Pikuach Nefesh, don't do this, stop, Pikuach Nefesh, Nochamol, Nochamol. I'm listening. I was thinking, yeah, he's saying this.
Yeah.
He knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because 2 hours later, 45 people died for no reason. And we didn't even know who these people are. I'm not scared for myself. I'm scared to see. I'm scared to see even my own family people.
And teenagers.
Yeah, they're all young people. It's not their fault, these kids. Well, it could have been me. If I went to Eretz Yisrael, I didn't go to this. I went to Eretz Yisrael 3 years ago. So I said, what am I going to do? The once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm never going to go to this, Mr. Gass.
Yeah.
But because I'm here at Eretz Yisrael, anyways, to go tour to tourists, I might as well go to Meron. I got on the bus. It could have been me. Could have been anyone.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh,
but it's a mindset too. It's something just in the mindset. Look, we got Sima Shas, 98,000 people, whatever. Yeah, it's organized, 100, you know, maybe because the guy wanted
to charge. No, right. So even there, it's not so safe, 100%.
Yeah, but as said,
they have protocols. There's a whole government in that life. You can get code. There are codes.
Planning and everything else.
There are codes.
But the problem is that, unfortunately, the mindsets of a lot of people, they just don't care. And, you know, I'll do my thing, and that's it.
This is not going to happen again. Not in Rome.
Yeah.
Like Levias, big Levias. Big Levias. But you know the difference now is a lot of people who understand this, they're not going anymore. Like a big Levaya. People are not going to go to big Levias anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For what? What? Get killed?
Yeah.
I mean, they do. I remember Rav Wozner, two boys died by Rav Wozner's Levaya.
Mm-hmm. Right, they got crushed. Right?
Two boys were crushed. So yeah. I know the rabbi of Meshula, he told me that his son was there at the Levaya.
Yeah.
And he said he saw before the Levaya someone's going to die. It was like, it was so pashut, someone's going to get killed. Uh-huh. Like he remembers being there in the beginning of the Levaya, and he said to himself, people are going to die. This is going to happen.
But they had large Levaya since.
After that Levaya, no, you see? Yeah. And Avad Yosef Levaya, and Avad Yashav's Levaya, no one died.
Yeah.
And Avad Yosef died, and I think it was after. No,
but that was before.
Before?
Avad Yosef, sure.
I'm not so sure. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But
Avad Yosef was, it was
2012.
Maybe, right before.
Right before Wozner?
Yeah.
And Avad Yashav?
Avad Yashav is 2012, Avad Yosef is 2013, and Wozner is 14.
So it's a miracle. No one died by Avad Yashav then. There's a miracle. No one died by Avad Yashav. But you do see when they buy these Levias, you do see by some of them, they are Masudr. They know how to do this.
Yeah.
They know how to deal with large crowds. But this is going to be now a new. There's no question, public safety. I mean,
it has to be changed. But you know, it's amazing. I don't know if I forward and forward. In Tel Aviv, tons of chilonim off the street lining up to donate blood. It's an hour and a half in the sweltering sun to donate blood.
For this, for Meron.
Yeah.
They don't need blood. What do they need? They need blood?
They need blood. Well, Hashem, they didn't need it.
Sorry?
They were crushed to death.
Also, Baruch Hashem, most of the people are not in the hospital anymore. There's very few people in the hospital.
45 people died. It's not to be believed. Yeah. Young people. Many of them young people.
So listen to this mindset. I was shocked last night. When I came to shul, I mentioned to two people who are older than me what happened. And I told him I have a Maisa Rav. I said, 35 years ago, Rav Moshe's Levaya, okay, was Thomas Eska. So when I came home from the Levaya, I saw my Rebbe. And we used to have in those years, the early days of the shul, we used to come back at 10 o'clock at night, the first night of Purim. And we used to have a suda in shul. We used to drink and ramen and everything.